We hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Steve Kelly and Wave Church. We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching, and we believe that it will enrich and empower your life.
Oh, I got to tell you, I just love Christmas, don't you? I absolutely love Christmas, don't you? I actually think, you know, it is the most wonderful time of the year. I think it is amazing. It's actually an annual reminder to a world that often can live without even an awareness of God, that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, and whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have life everlasting. Can somebody thank God for Jesus tonight? Anybody here grateful for Jesus? Amen. You can be seated. Thank you, guys. You are absolutely amazing. Amen. So I got some good news and I got some bad news. What would you like first, the good news or the bad news? It's funny, the first service said exactly the same thing. The bad news. All right, you want the bad news first? All right, well, here's what the Bible says. It says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him, watch this, shall not perish. Okay, there's the bad news. In that most quoted Bible verse in the world, there's some bad news in there. Yeah, the truth is, I don't need anybody to tell me that I'm lost without God. I don't need anybody to tell me that my life is less than perfect. I already know. I know my own weaknesses better than you do. You know your weaknesses better than anybody else does. We know that there is a God-shaped hole on the inside of every one of us. You can try and fill it with fame, fortune. You can try and fill it with relationships or whatever it is that you would think that would make your life happy. No matter how hard you try to fill that God-shaped hole, you're still left empty. That's the bad news. Matter of fact, there's a guy in the Bible, his name's Solomon, and he writes about it. He's one of the greatest kings that ever lived in Israel's history. And he writes about it in this book called Ecclesiastes. And in this book, he's considered to be the wisest man that ever lived. And he said, I took upon myself vast and great projects. I built the greatest gardens and the greatest buildings. I amassed myself with every pleasure known to man. I withheld no desire from my life. And he says, at the end of it all, it's vanity. It's just chasing after the wind. You see, my friend, the bad news is outside of God, life just doesn't make sense. The good news is, for God so loved the world that He gave. That's what Christmas is all about. You cannot fully appreciate how good the good news is unless you understand the bad news. And the good news gets even better when you understand the bad news. It's a bit like this. There's this young boy, his name's Luigi, and he goes to his mum and he says to his mum, very poor, no man, no husband in the family, and he wanted the BMX bike for Christmas, and he went to his mom and he says, Mom, he says, can I please, I'm trying to do my best Italian accent here, okay? Can I please have a BMX bicycle for Christmas? And she goes, Luigi, you know your mom, and she worked very hard, and she's got no money. Then you go and you pray to baby Jesus. And very religious family, had the whole nativity scene up there above the mantel place. And so little Luigi goes and writes a little note to baby Jesus. And he goes, dear baby Jesus, the promise to be a good boy for 1 week, could I please have a BMX bicycle? I'm trying hard here, guys. Help me out here. And he goes outside and he already gets himself in trouble, and he comes back inside and he's shaking his head. I shouldn't have promised to be a good boy for a whole week. That's impossible. So then he goes, dear baby Jesus, I promise to be a good boy for one day. Could I please have a BMX bicycle for Christmas? And then he goes outside, pushes his brother over, picks up a rock and throws a rock and smashes a window. And then he goes, oh. So he goes back inside and he goes, another note. Dear baby Jesus, if I promise to be a good boy for 1 hour, could I please have a BMX bicycle for Christmas? And then straight away, he smells this beautiful cake that his mother was cooking for Christmas, and he stole a piece of the cake, and he realizes he can't be good for an hour. So then he got this great idea. He went back to the mantelpiece and where the nativity scene was, and he very carefully took down Mary and he wrapped her in a towel and took her and placed her in his wardrobe and got out pen and paper one more time. And he wrote, "Dear baby Jesus, if ever you want to see your mother again." I thought that was funny myself. I thought the Italian accent really took it over the top. Well, the truth is, we're all in need of a Savior. Can anyone say amen to that? How many people here tonight are grateful that God so loved the world that He gave Jesus for my life, for your life? No one deserves it. There's nothing we could have done that got there. God knew we couldn't get ourselves together. He came. And I was thinking about the Christmas story, and I just for a couple of minutes, that's all, give you my thoughts. The Bible talks about right before the beginning of the New Testament, which is where we're celebrating Christmas, and actually it says there was 400 silent years. 400, that's a long time. 400 years where there was no prophetic voice, there was no judge looking out over Israel, there were no songs that were being sung that were inspired by God. Are you hearing me? There was just silence. It's almost like God has this divine pause, wanting for the moment of the announcement of the birth of Jesus to be something where people were leaning in a little extra. And it's in that moment that an angel came and declared to Zechariah and Elizabeth that you will have a son and his name will be John, John the Baptist. And then 6 months later, that same angel now appears to Mary. And it says, let me just read it to you in Luke chapter 1. It says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth in a town in Galilee. A virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored of the Lord." Greetings, you are highly favored. What would you do if an angel comes and says that to you? So, of course, we know that this actually was an amazing announcement. And this angel said, "You're going to have a son. Inside of you, God will place the Messiah, Jesus, the Son of God. A little embryo, a little fetus, the seed of God will be placed in your womb and you will have a child and he will be the Savior of the world." I love that song, didn't you? Mary, did you know? So I was thinking about that. I was thinking about, you know, when number one, the first thought I want to share for Christmas is when, how many know that Mary maybe for a couple of months could have hid the fact that she had that baby inside of her. But sooner or later, I think Joseph one day kind of looked at Mary and said, "Hey, Mary, I think you need to lay off the Wendy's. Mary, I think you maybe need to go to the gym. Maybe walk a few miles." And Mary, of course, we know the story, that an angel had to appear to Joseph and say, "Listen, this girl's been faithful to you. This is a miracle of God." Here's my first thought for Christmas this year. Listen to it. If Jesus is inside of you, he's got to show. You see, she was showing. And I want to talk to Christians tonight to say, if Jesus is in you, he's got to show. This announcement that the angel came, he said, "Mary, you're blessed. You are favored." Hey, do you know what the word blessed means in the Amplified? It means happy. I'm telling you, he's got to show. And the Bible says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Christians, if Jesus is inside of you, you ought to be happy. You ought to be showing. You're blessed, happy. Amen. In his presence, there's fullness of joy. I've met some Christians and they go, "I've been in his presence." And I'm thinking, go back. You're not done yet. I'll know when you've been in his presence, because in his presence, there's fullness of joy, and God pronounces blessing on his people. And if God is inside of you, you're happy. It's not hard. The other word of blessed means fortunate. You know, when God's on the inside of you, no matter, even when bad things happen, God works good in all things. People look and say, man, you're the luckiest person I know. It's got nothing to do with luck. I'm blessed. God's on the inside of me. And God is working good in all things. It also means to be envied. There ought to be something about the life of a believer who has Jesus on the inside of them. Listen to this. Who, when other people look at your life, they want what you have. There ought to be something about their lives that people go, man, what is that? What are you smoking? Whatever it is, I want some of that. And the Bible just talks about this thought about, number one, listen to it. I want you to catch it. When he's on the inside of you, it's got to show. Amen. Just turn to the person next to you and say, it's got to show. Here's the second thought. Watch this. The Bible goes on and tells about that story as we just read. It's simply that when Joseph and Mary made it to the place where they had to be, there was no room. Now, I don't know about you, but if you're a business person and you have a bit of a business head, if you're a person that has a hotel and you've got rooms for rent, how many know that, you know, if your room's full, if you're a savvy business person, you might even give up your own bed to make an extra dollar that night? How full must the inn be that actually the only thing left for the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, was the stable? And not only was he born in a stable, the Bible says that he was placed, we call it a manger. Do you know what it really was? That song kind of glorifies it a little. It was a feeding trough. And they placed the King of Kings in a stable and a feeding trough. That's not how I'd picture the King to come. Are you hearing me? But it's how God chose it. I want you to think about this, because today, sadly, too often the world still has no room for Jesus. Every now and again, we pull him out, Christmas and Easter. Kind of let's talk about, you know, everywhere I go, people say to me, season's greetings. I go, oh no, I'm not a season's greeting person. I'm a Merry Christmas person. And I just want to close with this simple thought, just this thought about, I think about Jesus when he was coming into Jerusalem. He's now 32, 33 years of age. He's grown up. And Jesus said to his disciples, go find a donkey. And I want you to bring it to me. And then he's going to ride into Jerusalem. And let me just read it to you. It says, the disciples went and did as he had instructed them. And they brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. And a very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went ahead of him and those that follow shouted, Hosanna. Can anybody here tonight shout Hosanna? Hosanna? Come on, this Christmas Eve, can we declare tonight what they declared? Hosanna? Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied. Don't forget it. There ought to be something about my life and your life, if God is inside of us, that we're blessed. Right. Listen to this. The crowd sung Hosanna. Imagine if that donkey for a minute thought they were singing to him. Imagine if that donkey just went, boy, I'm a big deal. Little did he know, he was just carrying the Son of God. That they were singing to Jesus, they weren't singing to the donkey. And I got to tell you, the moment we start taking credit for what God's done in our life, we're a bigger ass than the ass in the Bible. When we start thinking we're all that, and we're just donkeys trying to bring Jesus into this world. I'm just trying to make sure you're listening. Why a donkey? Why not a horse? Jesus, the Son of God. Well, I have a couple of thoughts. Jesus rode a donkey for a couple of reasons. One, it was to fulfill the scripture and the prophecy in Zechariah chapter 9. It says, making his triumphant entry while riding a lowly animal, the symbol of peace. When horses are mentioned in the Bible, they are most always in relation to kings and war. While donkeys mentioned is in relation, listen to this, I like this, are you ready for this? For common people. The donkey's purpose was in agricultural trade as well. Maybe the second reason why it was a donkey is because in the ancient biblical world, a leader rode a horse when he was coming in for war, and the donkey was to signify peace. Perhaps third, the most powerful one of them all, and I'm done. Third reason why Jesus used the donkey was to connect with common people. His life for the Jew in Israel was not easy, living under the Roman Empire in the first century. Much more difficult, for the poor. But Jesus embraced the poor and the sick and people who were living on earth in that lifetime. His choice of a donkey instead of a horse was God's way of saying he came as a king who will serve and save the oppressed. Come on, somebody. May we never think we're all that. God, deliver us from being caught up with the celebrity lifestyle. God, deliver us from being consumed with ourselves. Jesus came on a donkey. Can I tell you something, my friend? I want to pray for you right now. Everybody online, I want to pray for you. Christmas Eve service, if you had any idea what it took to even be able to get the rehearsals to work with all the restrictions we are living with and are happy to do so. But we did it because we want people to meet Jesus on Christmas Eve. Thank God for the big guy. He'll be here in just a minute. How many are excited about the big guy in the red suit? But I'm far more excited than I am Jesus, than I am the big guy in a red suit. And I want to at least close my contribution to tonight's service by praying for anybody online who wants to make a decision to give your life to Jesus. And I want to pray for everybody here in this auditorium. And you say, Steve, I don't know him as you speak of. Steve, I don't know Jesus. And maybe this Christmas Eve, wouldn't this be the best night of all to make your peace with God? For you to understand that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have life everlasting. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and you might have it to the full, that you be blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied. Can I pray for you tonight? If you say, Steve, I don't know him as you speak of. Steve, tonight, pray for me. Include me in your prayer. Maybe you once prayed a prayer. You know, tonight you're just not with God like you were. I'd love to pray for you. I'm going to ask everybody in just a moment, everybody online, I would encourage you to, why don't you just click that button right there that you're making a decision to give your life to Jesus. And everybody here in this auditorium, look at me now. Look at me. I want to pray for you. If you say, Steve, include me in that prayer, in a moment, when we close our eyes, when we bow our heads, I'm going to ask you to just lift your hand. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. But right where you're seated, I just want to pray for you that you would know God, that you would meet Jesus, the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Alpha and Omega, the author and the finisher of our faith, one that is risen with healing in his wings. Come on, somebody. I'd love to pray for you. Come on, church, let's close our eyes. Let's bow our heads. Friend, if that is you and you say, Steve, you're talking to me. Steve, include me in that prayer. Steve, I want to get right with God. Would you lift your hand right now all over the building? That's it. That's it. Hands are being raised all over the building. Keep lifting them. Keep lifting. I'm looking at hands. Thank you. 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 Everywhere I'm looking, I see hands. Come on, keep lifting them right now. Anybody else? Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Who else today would just say, Steve, pray for me this Christmas Eve. Lift your hand if you haven't already. God bless you. Way up the back. God bless you. I see your hand. There's hands everywhere. Church, can we give a lot of hand for every single... There's a whole row of people there. Well, if the crowd that followed Jesus can cry Hosanna, can we not pray a prayer out loud with everybody who just lifted their hands? If that crowd can lift their voice, can we lift our voice? Say this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I ask you tonight, this Christmas Eve, to come into my life, to make yourself real to me. I receive you now as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand for every person in this auditorium and everybody online.
We hope you enjoyed this message by Pastor Steve Kelly. You can find more resources by Pastor Steve at stevekelly.tv and wavechurch.com.